We thank you for this time when we can join you at your table. We thank you for the meal we are about to have. Very special meal. It won't fill us up, but then it will. Lord, we're going to get filled today at your table. So bless us. As you knock, may we answer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're here for the first time, we'd like to welcome you to Fallbrook. I'd like to welcome my good friends, the Mitchells. Good to see you. My friends from Poway. They said they drive by here all the time. They decided to stop. You can stop anytime. Don't tell Pastor Moore I said so, but you can stop and stay. And I'd like to welcome my son. Glad to have you home, son. I asked him, did he bring a tape? And he said, no. Don't do that again. When he comes home, I like for him to sing, so we'll let him rest today. This past week, my sermon for the next 10 minutes is knock, 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 knock. That's right. In fact, I started to have one of those jokes in there, but I said, no, some people don't appreciate jokes in the pulpit on Sabbath. So I left it out. This past week, it was reported that two young men came knocking at the door of the University of Tennessee to a fraternity house. They showed their LSU IDs and said that they were displaced by Hurricane Katrina. So they asked for help from fellow university students. So they were taken in by the fraternity and treated well. In the words of Prince, they partied like it was 1999. They even met a couple of young ladies that they were able to date. But what they found out was that they were really not victims of Katrina. But they were escaped prisoners from Louisiana prison. They escaped from their cell by using a popsicle stick to pick the lock. Never can tell who knocks at your door. When I was growing up in Philadelphia, I remember an incident when I was a young boy, about this time of the year. Someone came and knocked at our door and asked my mother if she would fix him a sandwich. We didn't know him. We don't know why he picked our particular door, but he did. My mother went back in the kitchen and fixed him a sandwich. Gave it to him, we never saw him again. This past summer, my wife and I visited my daughter in Okinawa, Japan. Many of you know that she's there. And, of course, our main reason was going to see our granddaughter, Aya. And Aya has a toy house out in the backyard. Just big enough for a two-year-old to fit in. And on that house, there's a doorbell. And I would go out in the backyard and we would play house. I would ring the doorbell and Aya would answer the door. Aya would ask, who's there? I said, it's Grandpa. Now, I couldn't fit in. But there was a window on the house and she would serve me some of her plastic food. Times have changed. Making opening the door a reason to be a little more cautious today. I remember the years when Seventh-day Adventists went in-gathering. Some of you might not want to remember that anymore. And they would knock on doors. And people would open their doors. But today, when there's a knock at my door, the first thing I do is look through my peephole before I open the door. You'd be wise to do the same today. In fact, in my neighborhood, there are many of my neighbors that are putting up small gates to make sure you don't even get to the door. There's a gate before the door. My neighbor across the street has a tall gate. You can't even jump over it. I want to turn your attention to a unique passage. In fact, I shared in the first service, and I think it's true. I say that about many of the passages that I use, so you're not sure which one is unique anymore. But I like to think this one truly is. The book of Revelation. What book did I say, everybody? The book of Revelation, the third chapter. If you would turn there briefly. Book of Revelation, the third chapter. And while you're turning there to the book of Revelation chapter 3, the context is dealing with the church of Laodicea. Of all of the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, this is the last one, and it's the one that receives the sharpest rebuke from Jesus. I'd like to read in your hearing, starting at verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things says the what, everybody? The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither what, everybody? Cold nor hot. I could wish you were what? Cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, that must be an important word, words, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say that I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and you don't even know that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. So I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. You may be rich in white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and do what, everybody? And here's the passage. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Someone says that, one writer said that the church had reached its lowest point in Christian character. Neither hot nor cold, lukewarm, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, wretched. I mean, that's pretty tough. The problem with the church at Laodicea was that it allowed its religious life to get so low that it had little feeling left in it. It was neither cold nor hot. And it's interesting that on top of that, it had a high notion of itself. You put these two together, it's fatal for a church. So much so that Jesus knew that he had to rescue the church from this. So Jesus does something unique in Scripture. The Bible says he goes to the door of the church. He comes to Fallbrook and he knocks on the door. And when you read the context, if you really look closely at it, it may say even more. Because not only did it appear that he knocked on the door, but it says, if any person hears my voice. So it could be that Jesus was knocking and calling at the same time. Isn't that something? Knocking and calling must be important. What's wrong with the church? Whatever's going on is so difficult that Jesus comes himself to counsel the church. The church is orthodox. It has the doctrines. But the church is asleep. It's orthodox. Nothing wrong with the doctrine of the church of Laodicea, but the church is asleep. It's possible to be an earnest Christian without fire. That's what Jesus condemns. Being a Christian with no fire. Increased in goods, wealthy by the world standards, possessing a beautiful building like we have here at Fallbrook, an institution, center of learning, yet lack the essentials of Christianity, fire, passion. Satisfied and comfortable. Not really having the real thing. And all this is happening just before the Lord returns. And when I read this, I had to ask myself, Gerald, do you have the fire? Are you hot? Or are you cold? Or are you lukewarm? I don't know about you, but lukewarm doesn't sound good to me. But there is good news for the church at Laodicea. For he says that if the church would be zealous and repent. I like that. That's the answer. Just be zealous and repent. And if you would, then he says, I'm knocking at the door. And I'm going to, if you would open the door. Now, is Jesus able to open the door? Yeah, he owns the door. He can walk in, but that's not the way he does it. He knocks on the door. He calls out to us. And it says that if you would open the door, then he comes in and then he condemns us. Is that what it says? I want you to look at it. Look, what does it say? What does it say? What does he do when he comes in? He dines with us. What good news. You know, in the Orient, there's no higher honor than to have someone invite you to their home to dine. If they ever do, would you please accept? What a high honor that is. To dine with someone, to sit at someone's table, to dialogue, to enjoy their company, to enjoy the good food. Jesus said that if you would be zealous and repent, just open the door and let me come in and condemn you. Dine with us. Do you think maybe, in fact, I believe it, that Jesus stands and knocks at the door of every single church. he was knocking here today, would we open the door? And if he came in, would he enjoy our company? I believe he would. I believe he would. Knock, let him in, and then let him dine with you. You see, sometimes the world is afraid of God because they're afraid to come into a church because we might condemn them. What I want, you know what I desire for a church? A church to be welcoming. That anyone that comes in this door would be welcome. Amen? That's a wonderful church. That's a church just like Jesus. You'll dine with us. He'll be at home. And then we'll share. We'll talk. He'll talk about his victory. And we will share in his victory. Because it's not anything we've done. It's what he's done. And we will be in his kingdom. How would Christ be received if he was knocking at our door? I trust very well. I was going to tell you about what the prophet had to say about this, but I knew you couldn't handle it. What our prophet Ellen White had to say about the church of Laodicea was so striking. In fact, she admonishes us, if you ever would take the time, she admonishes us to read the third chapter of Revelation. Do that sometime. But let me just tell you what one quote, and I'm glad that I didn't say that, because if I would have said that, you would have been looking for another pastor. You would get rid of me. So I'm going to tell you just one of the things the prophet had to say about the church of Laodicea. This is going to blow you out. I couldn't give you but one. That's all you can handle. Can't handle more than one of these. So let me read it. Half-hearted Christians are worse than infidels. That's tough. I don't know if I've heard a tougher statement. For their deceptive words and non-committal position lead many astray. The infidel shows his colors. The lukewarm Christian deceives both parties. He is neither a good worldling nor a good Christian. Satan uses him to do a work that no one else can do. Help me, Jesus. I'm glad I didn't say that. Because you would not like me so well. Have you ever heard a tougher statement than that? The people that you're trying to win, if you're a half-hearted Christian, she says you're worse than they are. Oh, help me, Jesus. I said, Lord, I had to search, and I had to search myself. Am I a half-hearted Christian? Lord, help me. Help me. And I've determined that I'm not. Amen. Why? Because I'm so good? No, because I rest in him. It's not about me. I give my all to him. You need to do it again today. Amen. Amen. As I close and we get ready to wash one another's feet and join at the table. Just before I retired, one of my last deployments was in the Middle East. And honestly, I'm not sure where I was at. Reza, I don't know where I was at in the Middle East, but I was there somewhere. I think it was
Bahrain, but I'm not sure. So I'll tell you, I just can't remember. We made so many stops at the time. But one particular time, when the ship stopped, the officers of the ship were invited to dine at a sheikh's residence. And they decided to leave one of the chaplains back, and that was me. So I stayed back, and the two priests and all the other officers from the ward room went and dined at the sheikh's place. Whatever they had there, they said they had some type of meat. And along with the meat, it was fat all over it. And it was not polite to refuse your host. And have you ever been to someone's house when they've made a whole lot of something? And they give you a big plate of it? And so they gave the officers big helpings of it and stood there to watch them eat it. Now, this story came back to me because I was on the ship, thank the Lord. And I think the priest is still chewing today. See, not all food where you go to eat is good. But is it the food anyway? It's the hospitality. You eat a lot of the food because the host has been so kind enough to invite you. Amen? I want to invite you. God has told me to invite you to stay at his table. It would not be polite to leave his table. Amen? Stay at his table. Now, I recognize, and I want to, we're at home. Some probably did not come prepared, or you're out of town or whatever. Communion always throws you off because we have the washing of feet. If you've not seen that before, it can be kind of different. And if you didn't prepare for that, and people, if they didn't wash their feet before, they don't want to come to wash their feet. But you're home. I want you to feel comfortable in whatever it is you want to do. You can come if you've not done it before. You can come and join us and participate in the washing of feet. We take that from John 13. We follow the admonition of Jesus. It really helps us to be in the mode of a servant and to remember our role as servants. Then we come back to the table and we partake of the bread and of the grape. Emblems of his broken body and his spilled blood. And so we're going to invite you to join us. If you're, I'm not sure I'm trying to scout, but you might be from a different persuasion. But we have an open communion at our church. Amen? You're home when you come in this place. So we'd love you to partake. If you've not done it before, join in with us. We have an area for our families, and that's in our fellowship hall, and then we have a room set aside for our men and also for our ladies. But whatever you're comfortable with, we want you to be a part of the Fallbrook family. Would you join us today? And again, if you didn't prepare to do the washing of feet, you can just remain where you are. We'll be back shortly from our various rooms, and we'll come back, and then we'll all partake at the table together. You are home. And I want you to feel that way. I hope that in the next year, 2006, that we can have a couple of communions on Friday night. Would you like to try that? That would help us not to be rushed, and I won't have to give a 10-minute sermon. That's hard for me. I don't even call it a sermon. It's a 10-minute talk. It'll give us a little more time. So we'll try that a couple of times next year and see how that goes. So we'll do that in a year to come. Let's pray, and then we'll divide. We'll go to our particular areas. Lord, we thank you that you knock at our doors. And you're still knocking at the doors of our hearts. We know that. You're knocking at the door of every church. And Lord, here at Fallbrook, we open the door wide so that all who want to join us can join us. They can feel the warmth. They can feel our love that we have gotten from you. As we wash one another's feet, we pray that you would give us servant hearts. And as we sit at the table, pray that our mind would focus heavenward on that day when we'll drink with you in the kingdom. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Deacons are standing there at the door. They'll be able to direct you.